George Soto is a self-proclaimed startup fanatic. He's been on a journey from an employee of Twitter to a mission aimed at inspiring new entrepreneurs through community. George is a consultant for Node.io and has also launched Soto Ventures Media as an educational hub and community for entrepreneurs. In this podcast, George reveals his fundamental truth for sales, thoughts on becoming a fantastic leader, tips for getting in the right sales mindset, and we end it with discussion of the new book that I'm releasing. Actually, it should be out by now, called Predictable Prospecting.
Yeah, so, you know, wow, quite a few things. So I left Twitter in February of last year,
right.
So about a year and, you know, change now. And I went to start a company so that I'd been working on this idea, really. And the idea was trying to simplify the workflow inside of Salesforce for the SDR, right?
Yeah.
The inside sales rep that's getting a bunch of, you know, leads in and needs a better visual cue. And I really like the user experience that you see, kind of like there's a tool called Trello. Are you familiar with Trello?
I use it.
Got it. Yeah. So if you think about Trello and Pipedrive is another one. And I always thought about the spreadsheet. And I was like, why do we always default to the spreadsheet, right? For basically everything. And so I said, well, what if we created a user experience inside of Salesforce that – had columns that represented the steps, right? Because for me, it was like, you know, what's why I think spreadsheets are so great. One of the reasons is that, you know, you can visually see kind of the world of things that you're working on. And so anyways, we built this application called Dash Tab. And I had been trying to solve this problem for a long time. I started a company in 2011 through an incubator that didn't quite work out, but I was able to end up partnering with a great engineering team that was excited about solving this problem with me, and which was shocking. And so I decided to quit Twitter and do that, and we launched a product, and it was great, and you know it's still out there. At one point, and this was in the summertime of last year, I just kind of burned out, and I was like, you know, my partners at the time, you know, who I'm still very good friends with, they had a consulting business, a software consulting business that they really, really, you know, were monetizing well, and we kind of just said, you know what do we want, you know, what do we want for our lives? And they had spent a lot of time building this consulting business. And so, you know, we just kind of decided, hey, you know what, let's continue to offer the product as kind of a line item around the services, solution. And I decided to kind of just start traveling Europe. So I left and started traveling Europe in China, and I did 8 countries over the course of a couple months in 2015. It was the best year of my life, I would say. One of the best years, certainly as an adult. I guess that's what I call myself these days. But and that was just really, really eye opening. And what was interesting was, not to go onto too much of a, you know, tangent around humanity, but right before I left to travel, I met the founder, a woman by the name of Fallon Fatemi, founder of a startup called Node.io, and I really loved what she was doing. She was really trying to personalize the web and doing some very interesting things. And one of the first use cases that she wanted to go after, and she has a very big IPO, massive, you know, business idea. One of the first vertical she wanted to go after, a use case, was, you know, solving the, you know, a SaaS sales use case, right? Where it was like, you know, she wanted to be able to plug into Salesforce, automatically understand what accounts you should be going after, you know, who are the contacts within those accounts and how and what you should, you know, what you should say, right, when you're about the prospect, right, you're about to pick up the phone. And so it kind of fell in line with this whole, like, you know, account-based sales and marketing world, you know, which is not a new concept, right? Like, you know, it's a new jargony thing. But, and so I just really liked this approach that she was taking. And as soon as I got back from Europe, you know, I started consulting with her the rest of the year. I fell in love with the team and a great engineering team. You know, Fallon's a great visionary. And so that's what I'm doing now, like full time. But then I have this, I don't know what it is. It's a community called Sales. It's Soto Ventures, and Soto Ventures community is very, very interesting. And it's my last name, right? It's like this, you know, it's so tied to me in a very intimate way. And really, it started with me buying this domain about 13 years ago and doing, you know, I had like an LLC called Soto Ventures, and I did a bunch of random stuff. And around the time that I left Twitter and started DashTab, I my instinct just told me, hey, you know what? You want to make sure that you you continue to build your personal brand. And so I launched it, and it was just supposed to be my personal blog and something was fun. And as I started to travel Europe, I started doing these like motivational speaking things in Spain.
Wonderful. With both.
Yeah, and it was insane. It was like I it ended up becoming this community, and now, you know, now it's, you know, we're it's kind of, again, it's not a nonprofit, it's not even a business, I like to call it kind of like a community or movement, you know, where Soto Ventures is it's a community that's focused on inspiring and educating entrepreneurship around the world, and there's been some really interesting things that have happened. So anyways, that's a long-winded, you know, obviously a lot more there. So yeah, so that's kind of what I'm up to now, and so, you know, again, the focus is Node and then building this community, which is just been a lot of fun. People are getting involved all over the world, and they're, you know, these are individuals who care about building their personal brand, of course, but also care about, you know, their communities. You know, I have a gentleman, I can't pronounce his last name, but Brad, he's based in Detroit, and he came up to me. It was really, and he's going to be upset if he watches this video. I'm sorry, Brad. I don't want to butcher your last name in front of everyone. But he came up to me at Saster, and we were chatting, and he was based in Detroit. He works for Level 11. Are you familiar with the?
No, that I'm not.
Yeah, it's like they do like leaderboards and gamification to help sales teams.
Okay.
You know, so you look at, you know, that whole kind of sales productivity space, and it's one of the hot ones. I would actually call it kind of like a first mover there, innovator in that space. They've been around for many years, and you know, they have a solid team. And so he's a rep there, and somehow by the end of the night, we ended up like deciding to launch Soto Ventures Detroit, and it's very interesting. And so obviously his day job is, you know, that, and you know, this is, you know, not a huge time commitment, but the thesis was, you know, let's help him build his brand in Detroit as an enthusiast of startups. And the underlying energy or mission was really interesting, because, you know, everyone knows Detroit's had some issues economically, right? Or that Michigan as a state. And, you know, the idea was, you know, imagine if we could stimulate some, you know, some growth there and some thoughtfulness around entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship is an interesting, very interesting movement that's going on right now. And I think it's building the economies of the future. So it was just really nice to be able to, you know, to partner up with Brad. But that's a really good, you know, kind of example of the types of stuff that are happening just everywhere. And so, you know, that's something that's really near and dear to my heart.
So the thesis you said was getting communities together. Is it rallied around entrepreneurship, and also is it rallied around SaaS, or is it just people who feel that sense of community, want to extend their brand? Where are you now in exploring that?
Yeah, so the community, you know, it's interesting that the overarching like mission is entrepreneurship, educating and inspiring, you know, folks to even launch business, startup, tech, software businesses, of course, as a focus. But not necessarily only, you know, SaaS, right? But the caveat there is that, you know, my core competency and what I've been involved with for, you know, most of my career has been, you know, SaaS and web-based, you know, products, B2B. I have never really done that well. I've launched a couple of consumer things and they've never really worked out. So, you know, it's not a complete focus on B2B SaaS, but because that's something that, you know, I've spent a lot of time and the folks in my immediate network are typically B2B SaaS, you know, there is a kind of sort of correction towards that side or that kind of business. But then, you know, in an effort to focus somewhere, right, and be able to add immediate value, we're talking mostly about SaaS and B2B and that kind of stuff. And so it's, I guess in the short term, it's probably more focused on that. The other thing is I want to be able to teach people, you know, how to launch minimum viable products and how to launch, you know, applications and these sorts of things. And need to understand how to, you know, how to build this software. And so it's I obviously am not an engineer, so I can't, like, you know, go up there and teach someone how to build an application. However, you know, I can sit down and you know, in the community, you know, the folks that we're bringing on, you know, they can talk about, well, how do I, as a non-technical co-founder, launch a business, right? You know, how do I understand how to work with engineers? You know, how do I, if I have an idea, you know, how do I get really excited about the idea, recruit a technical, you know, co-founder, and then build a product and following a process that's actually intelligent. So those sorts of things, right? You know, the life of a non-technical co-founder is very painful. I would have to say someone trying to get into, you know, build software businesses and who can't actually write any code is nearly miserable, but, you know, but it's doable, right? So just trying to teach those processes from that perspective. But I've been blessed to be able to, you know, have a ton of engineers in, you know, in my network and real friends who are engineers who are also in getting involved with this, you know, this community, who can talk to, like, how do you actually build these things? So
are you thinking that it's going to end up being an exchange of maybe even matchmaking between engineering people and people who have a vision but don't necessarily have teams that can carry out the vision? Or are you focusing on getting conversations started and starting to think through with the MVP emphasis, not only products, but conversations and getting those products launched? Where are you at? All the above?
All of the above. You know, it's interesting because people ask me all the time, what is that thing? What is sort of venture stuff? I mean, I literally every day, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, actually, you know. And the beauty is that I don't have to know because, you know, we're not monetizing it. There's no, you know, there's no focus and stress of, you know, I have a business now, we have investors, we have all this stuff. I mean, that's what the day job's about, right? I feel like you got to be able to, you know, have a creative outlet, right? And this is my creative outlet. I literally love this stuff. This is what I've been doing my entire adult life. You know, I'm, you know, going to be 35 this year, and not that I'm old, but, you know, I'm still very young, still got a lot to learn. But, you know, I've been focused on this very mission since I was, you know, 21 years old. And, you know, so 14 years of my life that I focused on trying to become an entrepreneur, and trying to become a successful entrepreneur and trying to, you know, build businesses and the whole thing. And so, you know, for me, it's important that I have a creative outlet that is not necessarily tied to revenue or tied to, you know, some sort of expectation, or have to answer to anybody, which that's probably one of the biggest things I love about being in your own business owner. It's just that, you know, you don't have to answer to anyone. I think I was always a rebellious child. My mother tells me, even as a little guy, I never wanted to listen to anyone. So I guess
own drum, right?
Yeah. However, I think at some point you got to say, hey, you know what? You know, Rome was not built alone, and your team is probably the most important thing. And, you know, if you think about an evolution in an entrepreneur's life, I can certainly speak for myself. I think the sales stuff is easy, in my opinion. You know, it's kind of like fundamental truths. It never changes. It's like, okay, the technologies change, what you're selling changes, the story changes, but the fundamental truths, I think, are always there. And, you know, what I mean by that is, I was actually doing an interview last night with a friend of mine, Andy Vanetta Smith. She's got she's involved with Soda Ventures, but she runs a recruiting firm. And we were talking about the fundamental truths in sales. And if you think about it, you know, there's always going to be a point where there is a person or organization that you're trying to sell to or get in contact with. Now, how that happens, I don't know, right? Like, you know, in the past, you'd have to get a phone book and dial up 1,000 numbers and try to break in. So that was the entry point. Or
for you, knocking on doors.
or knocking on doors. Because right. And the context behind the question that she was asking me was, you know, what's this whole social selling thing and all that, and what's the future? And you know, I think it's, you know, I get the whole, you know, trends and marketing jargon and stuff like that. But, you know, social selling is like, you know, it's like, of course I'm going to do that, right? I'm going to do whatever I need to do to build my brand and allow people to understand who I am, so I can, you know, if I'm selling something, sell them something, right? Assuming there's value and, you know, I'm doing it ethically, et cetera, obviously. But, you know, so I think that's what I mean, fundamental truth. When the fundamental truth is, again, I'm trying to get in contact with you. How I do that, how that happens, what channel I use is, you know, that those are the things I think that vary. So, you know, sales, to what I was saying earlier, you know, sales for me, I feel like it's easy. It's always been easy. You know, it's all about how much, you know, effort can I put, you know, put forth, you know, how much can I keep my attitude in check? You know, how can I not get negative when the no's are coming and the, you know, and I can't get through and all that sort of stuff. And discipline and stuff. Assuming those variables I'm fine with, you know, I think it's pretty easy. It's always been easy. You know, I think the thing that I've really been thinking about now is mindfulness and leadership and what leadership really is, because I thought I was a leader at some point, you know, for such a long time. I was like, yeah, I'm a leader. I can lead and build businesses and run groups and these sorts of things. And I realized, you know, maybe my intention was there, but like real true leadership is not even about you, right? It's about others and it's about, you know, inspiring others and making them better. And, you know, once you're a leader, again, it's not about you, right? And how do you actually, so that's kind of a good, interesting thought, right? So if it's not about you and it's about your team, motivating, inspiring and growing and making them better, you know, how do you now do that at a high level and deal with your own shenanigans, right, in your own head and your own ego and your own insecurities and your own all that sort of stuff? And how do you keep calm, you know, when it's, you know, when the stuff's hit the fan, right? And, you know, those are things that, you know, I think a lot about now, like how do you become a fantastic leader? And so that's what's hard right now. Like, and I don't know that I'll ever, you know, master that, right? I think that's an ever evolving sort of, you know, mindset and skill set and experience. So that's one of the things that I'm super focused on now. Like, how do you build influence and do it in an appropriate way? Because the other thing is, I think with leadership comes, you know, tremendous responsibility. And that's not always easy, right? I think leadership is also, there's opportunities to, you know, lead by example. There's opportunities to, you know, to be an influencer for good. You know, and that's my personal, you know, sort of opinion and decision, is that I want to be a leader that doesn't use, you know, intimidation and all these other silly tactics that I think, you know, if you look at leadership at its core, yeah, sure. I mean, you know, there were plenty of leaders out there and today that use these other like kind of like negative tactics to lead and influence and get things done. And I think that's it. It's like, get things done. Right. But for me, it's beyond just getting things done. Right. It's getting things done in the right way, getting things done that makes me happy about how I'm living my life. And if you know, and I think that if you're a true leader, then, you know, whatever it is that you're leading, you got to be passionate about and you got to hopefully, you know, be all in. Right. And so when you put everything into something, you put your heart and soul into something, you know, good things happen. And if you're leading that group of individuals, gosh, you just have a very, very important responsibility to do the right thing and lead by example. And that is not easy, right?
No. So the getting back to the Detroit connection, do you think this idea, this notion of enriching others' lives under a leadership umbrella is what got Brad excited? Or what was the one thing you think that got him to say, oh my gosh, we should open up a branch in Detroit now?
Yeah. I don't know if he had too many drinks. No. You know, I honestly don't know necessarily, you know, I'm actually looking something up because I wanted to read you a couple of quotes. So I think that with Brad, you know, he was a fan of videos. I put out, you know, tons of videos over the years and content and stuff. And since he was in at a startup in sales, I think, you know, he was an audience, you know, consumer of the content and stuff. So he appreciated it. He was a fan of the stuff that we were doing. And I think that, you know, he was inspired by it and wanted to try to bring that or get involved. I think if I'm remembering the conversation accurately, he wanted to get involved within some capacity. And you know, immediately I said, after he said some very kind things, I said, okay, well, you know, your community needs you, right? And imagine if you're able to help your community a little bit and stimulate some you know, economic growth there, or just embed some seeds into, you know, two people's minds, right? And that ends up building a business that's meaningful to that, you know, economy. At the same time, you know, I think it's totally fair to say he wants to build his brand too, right? Within the tech startup community. And I think as long as you're doing the right things, you know, you're impacting people's lives in positive ways, you know, you know, I think that's perfectly fine. My agenda is very clear too. I want to build my personal brand. I think that's fine. You know, this is, you know, Keenan. Do you know Keenan? What's Keenan's last name? God, he's going to kill me for this. He wrote this book. Geez, I have it here. And not Todd. Where is it? Anyways. And, you know, he talks about doing business, you know, how do you do business? How do you become successful these days? And so building a digital presence and, you know, building your brand is super, super powerful. So, you know, in terms of Brad, I think that's, you know, I think that's what he was, you know, what his intention is. And we're doing our first event in Detroit. I unfortunately can't go out there because I have no time to breathe. But yeah, and that's why here we're chatting at, you know, we're starting
early.
Something. Yeah. You know, but we're doing our event, our first event in April next month, and super exciting with Level 11 and the Detroit Venture Partners. It's at some really fantastic venue there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it was. It was trying to help his community, you know, build his personal brand and just do something that can also be a creative outlet for him that doesn't have to be tied to any, to any revenue, you know, goal or something.
Or
you know?
Any outcome, yeah.
Or any outcome, yeah, right. Exactly. And it's just fun. Yeah. I like the analogy that I like to use is I'm an artist, right? I painted that back there. I don't know what it is, but and you know, I play guitar and I love creative stuff. And you know, the analogy is during the day, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's, you know, depending on my mood and my mindset, you know, I might say working for someone else is bad, but I'm blessed right now that I'm in a good situation. And but you can almost think about playing guitar or painting, right? During the daytime, you're getting a paycheck from someone else to paint and play guitar, right? And you're, you know, receiving feedback around how they want that painting to look and or how that song should be, the words to the song. And that's fine, right? You can, you know, make money, you got to pay your bills, you got to, you know, etc. But at some point you're an artist, you want to paint your own picture, you want to sing your own song. And so for me, there needs to be that outlet where I can come home and sing my own song and play my own guitar and, you know, paint my own picture. And for me, that's, you know, the core, that was how Soto Ventures started. That I think is what I loved about entrepreneurship in general is that kind of, you know, being able to apply that concept. So,
yeah. That's great. I mean, I can totally relate to that because I've been a solo entrepreneur since 1985, before it was fashionable to actually go in. You know, I was in sales, so I could afford to do that. But I'm with you 100% on the creative outlet. I am an engineer, so I'm a software engineer. What I do with my spare fun time is I still create code. I still write code because to me, that's my creative outlet. I love it. But because I've been in sales and marketing for so long now, the expectation is I continue along that path. But if there's an opportunity to pick up a programming job here or there, I will definitely do that. So,
you know, I would argue that probably makes you super, super thoughtful around sales and marketing too, because of the way you might approach the problems in sales and marketing, mm-hmm. you know, as a very, you know, thinking as an engineer, which I totally appreciate.
Yeah. Well, that process, anything process oriented, and that's why the way I teach even clients, and that's the reason why I have a new book coming out, is I've put it into a process that's easy to follow, that's step by step, that they don't have to freak out or worry about, okay, what do I need to think about? It's all laid out. And like you said, the channels change. Some of the methodologies change. Some of the way we approach people changes. But the underlying foundational framework is there for them to follow.
Well, can we talk about the book for a second, or is it too early?
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Let's talk about the book. I want to hear about it.
Well, it's funny how it all started. I was working with a client in New York. I did a 2-day immersion class for them. And I walked them through the normal, I have a table of elements. It's 28 steps now. They evolved from predictable revenue, which was, I think, 5. And I...
kudos, by the way.
Thank you. You
like basically changed the world there.
Well, Aaron is just... Yeah, he's great.
Shout out to Aaron Ross.
Shout out to Aaron. Yeah, and your 12 children.
I know. I mean, I literally love that guy.
So. I know. He's just great. So we kind of moved on from there because people were getting stuck in certain areas of the pipeline. And I saw that as I started working with accounts. So I decided, well, I'm going to create an extension of predictable revenue and really look at the conversational elements, stick on, you know, kind of bolt on my process knowledge. And then I was teaching this class and I finished, it was a 2-day, finished it. And the executive VP of sales and marketing came up to me after and he said, I have never been taught the way you just taught us. You need to put this in a book. And I was like, you know, I don't know. He says, I tell you what, I'll write the book for you. And it turns out he's an author that has done 10 books already on various topics. So what we did is we got together over the summer and I outlined everything that I wanted to talk about. And he recorded me for 2 hours every week for, I think, 8 or 9 weeks. And then we took those notes and put it into the new book. And it's all about still just that little slice of the pipeline that cold working and qualified and nurture is still where I focus my efforts, but it really gives them a good blueprint of how to go about it. We actually include emails in there because emails is always the big kind of like, why can't we see the emails for predictable revenue? You know, so I threw them in there to the book that we're launching in August. And it's been fun. It's been great getting feedback. And it is, that book is written by my clients. I mean, they're the ones who helped extend where we were with predictable revenue in 2011 to where we are now. So, you know, whatever you see in those pages is the work that we did together since 2011.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so when is it?
August. Well, I know it's August. A long time away, but it's getting published by a publisher. So it's kind of out of my hands as to when things get released.
Yeah.
So now what we're doing is looking for opportunities for people to review the book and give me, you know, the brutally honest feedback. What's boring? What don't I understand? And also give me some idea of the bonuses that they would like to see as part of the launch of the book. So part of this is to reach out to people who I know, love, and respect and say, hey, you know, tell me what would make your life just transformed if you had the book and then whatever else you need in order to get going on this whole idea of qualified opportunities in the pipeline.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. Well, I'd love to help out in any way possible.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny because I live in Des Moines, Iowa, and there's this concept called lunch and learn here where you walk in and you teach, and it's just been great. I mean, there's a couple startups, not a lot here. Cedar Rapids has a pretty big startup community. So I went up there and did my spiel and it's been great. I mean, I don't usually work a lot with startups, but I'm gravitated towards them because of the fact that I too am them. You know, I worked either selling, creating, or, you know, peddling disruptive products way back when. So I can totally understand and relate to where they are in that lifespan. And the work that you're doing is just incredible with leadership. Much needed, for sure.
Well, I'm excited about your book. And of course, you know, I forgot the first time we met, but I remember meeting you in Seattle. We were doing that event with the outreach .io folks at WeWork. And so I remember always, you know, having such a pleasant conversation with you there.
Yeah, and I remember your talk was about the phone. So I immediately connected with you because one of the things that I recognize with younger crowd is that we tend to want to rely on email a lot. And having that conversation, as you mentioned in the early part of this broadcast, the conversation on the phone or just one-on-one with your person, whoever that is so important. It's all about relationships. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship with email, but, you know, getting on the phone with that person and really hearing the tonality of their voice and listening to the stress if they're, you know, in a situation where they're snowed under with stuff to do, that you can't get that in an email.
Yeah. You know?
So I loved your talk about the cold scripting and that, you know, you don't have to read from it, but you practice it. You know, I thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I think in terms of phones, I mean, I always thought about the phone is the most direct, well, not the most direct, but, you know, when we're looking at email versus phone, I mean, email for me is just a method of getting in contact with you, you know, assuming that that's the only way I can do it and to get you on the phone, right? And to hop on the phone and to be able to, you know, as you mentioned, really hear the human behind the email. And so, you know, it drives me a bit nuts whenever I see folks who are just only on email and they're trying to sell on email, you know, and like, it's like, I mean, you know, unless it's some sort of, you know, low price point transactional thing where, you know, you're selling 200 of those things a day or something like that, you know, like there's just, you know, you got to hop on the phone and you know, connect with the human and have that conversation and really be able to walk them through what's going on. You know, obviously it's tough, right? People are rude because, you know, it's not personal, but they're getting those kind of calls, or they don't know how to actually have that conversation or receive that call. You know, there's a variety of things. And as I was mentioning earlier, the mindfulness and discipline of detaching yourself from, you know, how that call might go, negative or positive, and just doing your job and following the process, you know, and following those steps in the conversation. I think, you know, that's what's important, right? But it is hard, right? It is much easier to just send an email and get a, hey, don't email me back, or unsubscribe, or, you know, all the other responses that you get. That's much easier to digest than someone saying, hey, buddy, stop calling me. This is my cell phone. Hit the road, okay?
Right.
You know, that's much harder, right?
Right. But I think your concept of I'm finding the buyer, I think there was one video you did on that topic, that just really hit home with me, because you are locating the person with whom you can have an enriching conversation to see if you're a fit or not. You know, going back to predictable revenue at the AWAF call, Aaron and I invented that acronym over at Saros, I think it was, a New York City startup. But, you know, you're really genuinely trying to find if you're a good fit or not. And that's it.
Yeah, right. And for me, it's like so important to have that mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? When we were doing door-to-door sales, and I just, I was in graduate school, and I was selling, you know, and I talk about this all the time. Like, I literally say what I just said a million times, because it was such an impactful experience for me. And it taught me everything that I, you know, believe that I know in sales. And one of the things that my manager, who, by the way, I'm so excited, we're doing a video series called Leadership by Brian Ross. And so I have one video where we're both all super busy, but we're getting these things recorded. And what he used to always tell me was, you know, you got to get your mind right. You got to like have this story and this mission that you're focused on every day as you're doing these calls. And we were doing door to door, right? So that was the most
difficult,
yeah, because it's so personal, because you're in front of the person, and there's this moment where they're like, who's this stranger in front of me, you know, in my door, right? And so, you know, you have those instinctual, like, you know, defense things that you got to deal with too, and breaking through that is really interesting. And I think that, you know, after knocking on thousands of doors, you start to understand, oh, okay, you know, there are like five ways that this could, you know, turn out, right? There aren't 1,000. And as long as I prepare myself for each of those things, or those outcomes, you know, that's fine, right? Like, I should have that expectation that's how it could go. And one of those could be they curse at you and say, hey, I'm going to call the cops, get off my, you know, my doorstep. And that's, you know, and after that's happened to you a couple of times, you're like, all right, well, that's part of it. So, you know, that for me, that's ego. It's you know, thickening your skin and those sorts of things, which, you know, if you think about what, you know, do we talk about that as leaders and managers, you know, in the at work? No. Like, so many of us, we're not even aware of that kind of stuff even exists. You know, we're not even, you know, our mindfulness or self-awareness or awareness of, you know, how we operate, you know, within that sales scenario with, you know, I mean, that's a life thing, right? Human thing, but we don't talk about it. So we don't arm our people with the right information that's going to get them through those challenging moments, because anyone can sell when it's easy, when everyone's saying yes. That's mm-hmm. why inbound, you know, working at Google, and I love Google as a company and this and that, but, you know, there's no way that, you know, working at Facebook, Google, one of these established businesses, I worked at Twitter for a little bit. It was a piece of cake prospecting. It was a joke, right? It's like, hey, I'm calling you from Twitter. Oh, yeah. Oh, can you talk now? You know, I mean, it's a joke, right? So, like, that experience is quite different than, you know, you're an early stage startup, or you're a company that's maybe not well known, which is most of the planet, right? You know, you're going to get people who are not going to want to talk to you, or and are not going to communicate that, you know, in the nicest way all the time. So again, I think that the point here for me is, how do we arm our people to have their mind right, to be able to understand the possible outcomes, and be able to have enough internal kind of awareness to be able to effectively deal with that throughout their day and not let it mess with the resolve and not let it mess with their attitude. Because once your attitude's gone, you're in trouble, right?
Right.
You know, then it's like, oh man, then you're going, oh my God, I hate this. Maybe I should have gone to law school. Maybe I should have, you know, whatever, right? Why am I a salesperson? My dad was right, you know? So, you know, especially as an entrepreneur, you got to deal with that forever, right? You're constantly, you know, just dealing with the most negative things at times, but you got to, you know, build that resolve.
Right. So as we tie this up, what advice would you give for someone who's listening now and thinking, wow, you know, I do want to be a really good leader. I do want to be able to move my charges, whether they're virtual or they're actual employees or 1099 contractors, whatever the team looks like, what advice would you give and how can people learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I think the first thing, so I want to read off a couple quotes here in a second, but I think it's developing a tremendous, tremendous level of self-awareness and start to look at us as, you know, as humans, right? And how do we as humans deal with things? How do we how do I deal with a negative thought or a negative situation? You know, like how am I going to deal with my own ego when my rep or my employee or my partner has a bad day, you know, or I'm having a bad day and I need to deal with these other things, right? How do I make my people better? You know, how do I now become selfless? Because that is now what happens. If you're in a leadership position, wake up. It's not about you, right? I mean, period. If you want to be an individual contributor, that's fine, but you should not be leading anyone, right? Because it's not about you. Now, I think it's okay to say, hey, look, you know, I got an ego and I feel like I can do all these great things and I'm super strong and can do all these great whatever. And that's okay to be, you know, have that confidence and chip on your shoulder. But I think you have to be able to say, okay, well, now how do I transfer that energy to be able to make my people better? And this is what really, really aggravates me when I see people in leadership or manager positions. First of all, I hate the whole manager concept, but it's because they don't, in my opinion, they don't do it right. I hate to see those folks in there and they're just freaking out, scared not to get fired. You ever see this where you see these, you know, managers or, you know, leaders who are just freaking out because everything's about how do they not look bad within the organization? And they just completely don't even, you know, totally forget about the fact that they have to lead some folks and inspire some folks and make these other folks better, right? And it's almost like, you know, plugging holes or, you know, or following process. And that's just absolutely not the case, in my opinion. It's not the objective there. So again, you know, how do you make your people better? How do you serve your team? How do you make them great? How do you make, you know, develop leaders? If you're an SDR manager, right? If you're an SDR manager and you're dealing with young, you know, guys and gals, so, you know, some of them are coming out of college, some of them early in their career, how do you make them rock stars? How do you make them leaders? How do you teach them the things that maybe are slightly out of the scope of what their day to day is, right? You know, but you know, it's in their best interest because you were there, you've been there, right? So, you know, those are the things that I would encourage folks to think about. You know, it's not about you, it's about others. I did this, this blog post at sotoventures.com. So basically I spoke, I literally texted and sent emails to about 36 of my friends, business associates, and I asked them one question. And I should have, Mary Lou, I'm sorry, I should have pinged you on this. but I asked them one question. I asked them, what is leadership? And the intention was for them to send back a text message length response. But I pinged Mark Cuban, who's the Dallas Mavericks owner. He's also one of the investors in Node. And he says, you know, having a vision for success that everyone takes ownership of, which I love. My father, who's an organizational psychologist, says leadership requires the ability to take the initiative to get things done. Okay, and I appreciate that. Aaron Ross, our mutual friend, says leadership is tuning out all the freaking noise to listen to yourself and feel out what's most important, needs to be done, or just plain right, even when others think you're crazy. If you're not crazy once, or called crazy once in a while, you're managing, not leading. I love that from Aaron here. A couple other ones, Trish Bertuzzi of the Bridge Group. Leadership is when you don't have to ask your team to get motivated because you are what motivates them. I mean, and the list goes on and on here. And you know, as you read through these things, you start to go, wow, you know what? It's not even about me. Kyle Porter at SalesLoft. Leadership is serving others through influence and love to accomplish more than they believe possible. I like to kind of think of that as breaking belief barriers. You know, it's a concept that that I've kind of held dear to my heart. A couple other ones here. Thomas Tongues, who's he's the venture capitalist over at Redpoint, and he's got his blog is like super crazy right now. It's super popular. He says great leadership begins with great compassion. So anyways, I have the common theme here was it's not about you. It's about them. It's about your team, about your employees, about others. Right. So anyways, there's a ton more there. I just noticed a typo that's driving me crazy. but I am the typo king. I don't know why I can't get over not making typos. But anyways,
that's okay. That's all right. Editor, get a VA that's a great editor.
I know. Yeah.
That's one thing that's been great about the book is that with the publisher involved, there's a whole staff of people that edit and make things sound better and humanize it a little bit better because, you don't want the whole thing to sound like a big engineering book. So it's cool.
Totally.
So how do people get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of you to help you with your Soto Ventures?
Yeah, well, email j@sotoventures.com, Twitter @sotoventures, LinkedIn. I just signed up to Snapchat, and I'm trying to figure out where's my phone here, how to use this Snapchat thing, which is going to be something, right? Like these things, whether it's Snapchat or Periscope or some other streaming thing that comes out, I think that media is there's something about that. But just email me if anyone wants to get involved. We're looking for ambassadors all over the world. And we have like regional Twitter handles that are compiling information about the sort of influencers in the startup community in those cities. And we follow their handles and then automatically post all their tweets to our like Soto Ventures, let's say Austin handle. So we're looking folks to volunteer to be part of that, that community or those efforts.
And just so you know, the crowd that I serve, if you're working at a larger company and you're a business developer or you're a sales manager, it applies to you too. It's not just a startup company venture. It's for anyone who is in an organization where there's a team aspect and you're responsible for the livelihood, the enrichment, the transformation of your team. George, thank you so much for your time. It's been great catching up.
And absolutely.
Please just keep me posted of what's going on. We're very anxious to hear how things went. And if this crowd can help in any way, we will certainly do that.
Thank you so much. And I'd love to take a look at the book when it's available and, you know, spread the love.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And you can critique it. Brutally Honest Critique is where I'm at right now. I'm looking for those wonderful people. Like, well, Aaron actually did the foreword of the book. So, okay. You know, he's already looked at it and given it the Aaron stamp of approval.
Nice.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.